Hospitals in Orlando, Florida are canceling the medical bills of survivors of the mass shooting there this summer. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There is news that hospitals in Orlando have decided not to bill victims of the mass shooting at a gay nightclub back in June. Hospital officials say they could end up waiving about $5.5 million of medical care. Marketplace's Andy Euler is here live with me. Andy, how will this work?
Well, hospitals do write off bills all the time, but this actually seems pretty notable. Now, the majority of the victims were treated at Orlando Regional Medical Center, which is run by Orlando Health. That company's CEO said they will be seeking payment from insurance providers for the folks that had coverage, but they'll also be looking for help from victims' funds that were set up by individuals and city officials after the shooting. Now, a different hospital, Florida Hospital, treated another 12 victims and said they're not even going to be billing the victims' insurance companies for the treatment, and they're going to provide any follow-up surgeries the victims might need in the future.
Now, you talked about Orlando Health trying to collect from insurance providers, but many of the patients in this case were uninsured, I think.
That's right. The majority of the victims were young, Latino, living in Florida, and some were undocumented. Now, many of those who were uninsured have been quoted a bill of $20,000, and that's just for the time spent in the hospital directly after the shooting. Orlando Health isn't just going to write off all the costs of treating these victims. Like I said, it's also looking for help from community groups, charities, and benefits to help pick up the debt. And some of those campaigns have been really successful. One GoFundMe campaign started by Equity Florida has raised almost $8 million.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you very much. The annual Conference of Central Bankers from around the world opens today in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Some activists focused on social issues will also be there. Adi Barkin is with an organization called Fed Up. He will be in Jackson Hole, where his group has secured a meeting with eight central bankers, including the head of the New York Fed, but not the Fed chair, Janet Yellen, to talk about wealth inequality, transparency, and diversity, among other things. On his way to Wyoming, Barkin told us his goal.
First, convincing the Federal Reserve that it should be prioritizing full employment for all communities, which means good jobs and rising wages, particularly for Black and Latino workers who are being left behind in this economy. And two, reforming the Federal Reserve so that its governance is more accountable to the American people and transparent. Because right now it's an opaque institution that is far too in bed with the commercial banks that it is supposed to be regulating.
Dr. Yellen speaks tomorrow, which market players will scour for hints about the timing of an interest rate increase in the U.S. Now, here's what happens when you take an economist and give him access to a trove of political polling data on just who tends to support Republican Donald Trump for president. Jonathan Rothwell is senior economist at Gallup, the venerable public opinion research firm. He joined us from Marketplace's Washington Bureau. Mr. Rothwell, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So Donald Trump, of course, talks a lot about trade, that Americans are suffering economically due to globalization, which, of course, produces winners and losers. But when it comes to Trump's supporters and trade, what did you find?
Trump supporters are less likely to live in places that have seen absolute job losses in manufacturing or even imports. From China, looking at the types of industries that are most exposed to Chinese imports.
That's an irony right there.
Indeed. It surprised me. I expected it to go the other way for the reason you mentioned. It's certainly been a huge theme of his campaign. But, I mean, the bottom line is there are many economic forces besides globalization that are bearing down on people's lives. Indeed, I find that despite the fact that they have somewhat higher incomes than the average American, intergenerational mobility, which compares the incomes of parents to the incomes of their grown children, is lower in the communities of Trump supporters.
I mean, the slogan of Donald Trump's campaign, Make America Great Again, implies his supporters worry about the future. Maybe they're worried about the future that their children will have.
I think that's a real possibility. They tend to be older. That would suggest to me that their children are likely to be of age where they would be finishing college or have already finished college and started their careers and maybe struggling with student loans and finding jobs that pay as well as they would have expected. It could just be that the types of communities that Trump supporters live in tend to be particularly unhospitable to the upward mobility of millennials.
Blue-collar towns in some cases.
Well, that's right. I do find that they live in local areas that have much fewer college-educated workers, and so that suggests that the structure of the economy is probably much less oriented toward the professional jobs and industries that have been experiencing the most growth over the last 20 years.
Jonathan Rothwell, a senior economist at Gallup. Mr. Rothwell, thank you.
My pleasure.
Rothwell also found that support for Trump ran higher in locations that were less diverse, where white voters were less likely to interact with non-whites or immigrants. Gallup plans to keep analyzing the data to see if Trump support correlates in any way with stress about, say, credit or housing. A link to the current research is now at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.